This morning, we are going to be reading a letter together. It's a short letter found in the Bible called the Letter to Philemon. But before we do that, let me first give you some background information about the letter. There was a person named Onesimus. He was a slave. Typically, when we hear the word slave, we think of the 19th century American slavery, the black slavery that are related to race. But in the first century, in the Greco-Roman setting, slavery was not really about race, but it was more about money. You become a slave most likely because you owe a lot of money to somebody that you couldn't repay. So you end up selling yourself into slavery and even your family in a way of repayment for your debt. So while I'm not trying to justify any form of slavery, to some degree, the slaves that during the time of first century in the Greco-Roman world, they had some responsibility of paying back to their master with their labor. And one of those slaves, Onesimus, has run away from his master. He ran away from that responsibility of paying him back. We don't exactly know why he ran away, but by running away, he had done great damage to his master. First, financially, because he was basically a property of his master. And also later, we see that it's likely that Onesimus, when he was running away, he stole money from his master. So even more damage to his master's finance. Not only the financial damage, but by running away, he also gave his master a bad reputation. Imagine people saying, "Oh, what kind of master is he? What kind of cruel master is he that a slave runs away, risking his life?" Or there would be people say, "What kind of weak or soft master is he that even a slave dares to run away from him?" So his reputation was damaged. Now, after he ran away, the only thing that Onesimus had to do for the rest of his life was not being caught, not seeing his master again. Why? Because seeing his master again means death. It was actually a legal penalty for a runaway slave that they would be put to the death penalty, even crucified if the master wants or chooses to do so. And now, that Onesimus, that runaway slave, the one that the master thought he would never ever see again in his life, was standing before him. So the runaway slave came before his master with a letter in his hand. That letter was written by someone named Paul, a great Christian leader of the time. And that letter was addressed to Philemon, Onesimus' master, the master of the runaway slave. So we have three characters: Onesimus, the runaway slave, Paul, the great Christian leader who wrote the letter, and Philemon, the master and the recipient of the letter. Let's read the letter together. It's called The Letter to Philemon in your Bible. In your pew Bibles, it's on page 1160. Page 1160. The Letter to Philemon. It's amazing that this short personal letter is included in the Bible, and we're reading it after 2,000 years. We will read the letter section by section with some explanation. Page 1160, Philemon, verse 1 to 3, we will read. "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In this first three verses, we are already given quite a few background information. First, Paul is in prison, most likely in a city called Ephesus. Two, Paul and Philemon, they know each other. Not only they know each other, we are told that they are dear friends and fellow worker in Christ. Three, Philemon's home was being used as a church. The church gathered at his house, and he was very much involved in that church. We think Apphia is likely Philemon's wife, and Archippus his son. And lastly, we know from other letters of Paul that this church that meets at Philemon's home, it's a church in Colossae. So it's the Colossian church. Verse 4 to 7, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your people in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. In these four verses, we learn that Philemon was somebody who was known for his love and his faith, an exemplary person. And Paul thanks for Philemon's life and his ministry. Philemon has given Paul a great joy and encouragement, even in prison. Pause with me here for a second. Philemon, at this point, must have been both overwhelmed and confused, perplexed. Here is a runaway slave that just showed up himself, and he brings a letter from the most unexpected, Paul, the great Christian leader of his time and someone Philemon greatly admires. What is happening? Well, Paul goes on and says what he really wants to say from verse 8 to 10. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. What? That rebellious runaway slave that caused Philemon so much damage financially and to his reputation? Now Paul calls him his son. Paul, the great leader, Paul who has everyone's respect, Paul who brought Philemon to Christ actually, he calls Onesimus his son. Verse 11, formerly he was useless to you. For sure, he was. But now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Paul says, before he was useless, and you know that, but now he is useful both to me and to you. And Paul here is doing a wordplay because the name Onesimus means useful. So Paul is now saying, see, he is now living up to his name. And I see a great deal of authenticity and trust here between all three people. Onesimus must have told Paul everything. All that he did, all that he went through, including why he ran away from his master. Great deal of authenticity. On the other hand, Paul tells Onesimus to go back to his master. Knowing the risk, knowing the danger, Paul wants to make things right between Onesimus and Philemon. I think if I were Paul, I think I would have just written an email to Philemon asking for his understanding and permission to keep Onesimus. But that's not what Paul does. Paul goes the hard way and really wants to make things right between Onesimus and Philemon. Verse 15 and 16, Paul says, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me and even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. This is becoming too much. It's too hard to understand, too radical even to imagine and to obey. Yet this is the kind of forgiveness and grace we experience in God. The forgiveness that a runaway slave, an enemy who has damaged his master's finance and reputation, and one person that would never, ever dare to come back to his master again in his life, comes back as a son and as a dear brother. It's a love that out of the broken relationship, the relationship of betrayal and animosity, born a new relationship of forgiveness, reconciliation, and love. How is this possible? How is such forgiveness and renewal of relationship possible? How is such a radical second chance possible? This is something the world has never seen before. And this is how it was possible. Verse 17 to 21. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me, says Paul. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. What a writer Paul is. Welcome him as you would welcome me, says Paul. Forgive him as you would forgive me. If he has done you any wrong, and I know he did, charge it to me. Paul is saying, his fault is my fault. He is my son and my own heart. He and I are one. We are absolutely bonded. This is how this is possible. Paul says, I'm writing this with my own hand. And we know that Paul typically had someone else write for him as he says something because of his age. But he says this, he writes himself to make sure that Philemon understands how important it is to Paul that things are made right between him and Onesimus. See, Onesimus doesn't have anything, no basis in himself that he can ask for Philemon's forgiveness. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, not a slight chance of opportunity in Onesimus that he can make things right again with Philemon. But who makes it possible? Who makes it right? Paul does. Mike Bird, one of the New Testament scholars, he says this about the letter of Philemon. Paul is saying here that he is willing to put himself in the place of Philemon and bear the cost of Onesimus' financial error. Indeed, Paul volunteers to have the cost charged, reckoned, and imputed to himself. On the converse side, Paul then asks that Philemon receive Onesimus as if he were Paul. So here, Paul offers to pay the price of someone's transgression, and he urges that one of lowly status be treated with regard to the status of another of the higher status. Paul wants the penalty for Onesimus credited to himself and his own status credited to Onesimus. Are you reminded of somebody? This is the greatest mystery and miracle in Christianity, that someone took our transgression and we took his royal status. This is what Jesus Christ did for us, for all of us. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed." There is a letter written for you and me, and the letter is written by Jesus. Jesus wrote a letter to God the Father, and this is what that letter says. "God, I write on the basis of your unending love. June," that's me by the way, "June has become my son. Before, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful. He is my very heart. The reason he was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but as your beloved child. Welcome him as you would welcome me. Forgive him as you would forgive me. And the wrongs that he has done to you, charge it to me." That's his letter for you and for me. Up on the cross, there, he changed our name. He changed our name from useless to useful, from rejected to accepted, from cursed to blessed, from a fugitive to a brother, from a prostitute to a bride, from a slave to a son and daughter. He changed our name, and he says, "Whatever they owe, I have paid it." Past tense. No matter who you are, no matter what mess you made, no matter what situation you are in, no matter how impossible it seems for you to make things right again, even if there's nothing you can do, especially because there's nothing you can do, you and I, we need a Savior. We need Paul. We need Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, all we try to do is to become a better slave. All that we try is to be better with what we have. And the best is to become a better slave on the run. Without Christ, the best we can do is to be a good fugitive. people of God, what we need is not a better life, but a new life. What we need to be is not a better slave, but a son and a daughter. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." In verse 22 and on, it says, "And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers." I think it's Paul's way of saying, "I'll soon find out what you did with Onesimus." 23, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." You just finished reading one of the whole books of the Bible, and there's only 65 more to go. About this short letter, another scholar called N.T. Wright says, "If the only document we had from early church was this letter to Philemon, we could still deduce a very great deal about what Christianity was on this letter alone. Because we know what happened to the slaves in the ancient world, what is going on in this letter, by contrast, is just radically different. This is what Christianity is. This is how Christians live. This is what a church looks like. Because we understand how the Father forgives and receives and loves us." About 50 years later, after the letter was written, there was another Christian leader named Saint Ignatius. And he writes a letter to the church in Ephesus, and in that letter he praises their wonderful bishop, Onesimus. We can only speculate if it's the same Onesimus, but many scholars see and agree that this is the same Onesimus. And we know that this Onesimus, the bishop of Ephesus, played a very important role in collecting and preserving all the letters written by Paul. Hence we have the New Testament. Indeed, in Christ, the old has gone and the new has come. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear God, because of Paul, Onesimus was welcomed back into Philemon's house. Thank you that because of Jesus, we are welcomed into your house. Thank you for changing our name from a slave to a son and daughter. Thank you for saying, "You are mine." In the name of Jesus, the mediator and Savior, we pray. Amen.